Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference and learn how you can make a difference as well. If you had a school-aged child or grandchild, my question is, how are they doing? Not only academically, but emotionally and behaviorally. Today, many young people are entering high school already 2 to 3 grade levels behind in reading and math. And a CDC survey showed that adolescent mental health in schools is on the rise, with 58% reporting the number of students seeking services increasing significantly. About 1 in 3 kids aged 12 to 17 had a mental, emotional, or behavioral issue, while 40% of high school students experienced persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. So when academic struggles and mental health challenges overlap, the risk of disengagement grows quickly. But what happens when someone intervenes, and intervenes early, helping a young person stabilize, rebuild confidence, and regain hope? Today, we're talking about how one organization is helping young people navigate those critical moments and change their story for the better. My guest today is Donnell Hauser, president and CEO of Ladd Lake, an organization that dates back to 1848 and is the oldest children's charity in Wisconsin. And their mission is to guide the growth of youth and families so they can reach their fullest potential. Welcome to the show today, Donnell.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Why don't we start our conversation today by you sharing with us what you're seeing in young people today that concerns you the most?
Yeah, you touched upon it earlier. And what we're seeing is that the mental health crisis for young people that we thought maybe was triggered by the pandemic isn't subsiding. It's continuing to grow, that kids are struggling with anxiety, depression, and hopelessness. Mm-hmm. And that's just concerning, that the need is growing each and every day. And also the academic rebound after the pandemic, when kids were being educated differently, we're seeing that that is continuing to happen, that young people are behind, they're not catching up, they're having difficulties in their academic performance once we came back to school. And I also think that there's a lot of things that we could do earlier on, and we tend to be more reactive instead of preventative. Mm. You know, kids are telling us with their behaviors, their actions, that they're struggling, and we miss it, or we don't pursue and find out what's truly going on. So we tend to intervene later. And if we had acted a little bit earlier, maybe the crisis wouldn't be so big.
And is that what drives your passion for the work that you do?
It really does. I've been doing this this kind of work my entire life. And there's those moments that when I see a young person first coming into our services, and they just have the look of despair or fear, sometimes hurt and anger is across their face. And then after a little bit and we work with them and we engage with them, when I touch base with them again and I see that their hope has been restored, their sense of self, their belief that they can overcome the challenges that they've experienced earlier in life. And that means absolutely everything, and why this passion just grows. And can list off so many young people who have just seen the change and the transformation in what they see in themselves and their future.
It's got to be very fulfilling.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, share with us what happens when mental health challenges and academic struggles overlap.
So we see that quite often at Ladd Lake, where a young person has experienced some kind of trauma, they have mental health challenges, and then it's compounded with academic issues as well. And so what we see is that students will avoid, so they'll stop going to school. And what we know, when there's free time with certain kids, that they can end up engaging in behaviors that are not healthy for them. And so if they're not attending school, not only are they falling behind in school, but they also get caught up in different things, which can cause them to be involved with the legal system. They might end up getting arrested and getting into the system through the juvenile justice door. Mm. When, again, you know, if we had identified and helped support early, maybe it wouldn't have gone down that path.
Right, right. Well, how does Ladd Lake then help when a young person reaches that point?
So the type of work that we do in most of our programs, we are there when there is a crisis in their life. So we have an array of services, but they usually enter us when something has not gone quite right. So they engaged in something at home or in their school community that has required them to be out of school or out of the home. And they'll come into our residential treatment program, which is about a 6-month intervention where the focus is to help them to first stabilize and then to rebuild that hope, help them build skills, reconnect them to the education process, and then help them figure out the path and the transition back into the communities, because when they come to us, the trajectory that they're on is going to end them up in trouble, having struggles graduating high school and then getting a job and having healthy relationships. And so our passion is about helping that young person get on a different trajectory, a different path, so that their futures are full of opportunity and they succeed and they're healthy. We have other programs that the girls are in more acute crisis that we serve between the ages of 7 and 17, where there is a significant mental health crisis, where they're saying they want to harm themselves, they want to end their lives, and they'll come in, and our work first and foremost is to stabilize, to make sure that they're safe. And after that happens, we work with the families to help them tap into resources in the community that they didn't know about, because we know that parenting is difficult.
Mm. It yes, takes, it is.
Especially when kids are struggling as they are these days, and just want families to be connected to supports and resources so that when that moment happens, they can tap into something. And also we work with a young person on building some skills to cope with the mental health challenges that they have. So we build safety plans with them. So if they feel that way, who can they reach out to in that critical moment instead of doing the harm to themselves or sometimes others? Yeah. And so we have a couple of different services, but our work primarily is around stabilizing, support, healing, and then rebuilding that hope.
And do you only provide services to girls, or is it boys and girls?
It is boys and girls.
Okay.
Residential treatment, boys and girls. We have an alternative school setting in Milwaukee, also for boys and girls. Our mentoring programs, boys and girls. And then we have in-home therapy. We find that sometimes it's difficult for kids and families to get to the clinic, the mental health
sure.
clinic. And
yeah.
so we have a service that the parents open up their doors. We go in and we do that, the work of healing and restoration and building skills right in their home. So it's convenient for them. So we
that's
meet them
nice.
Where they're at.
Yeah, that's very nice. Well, what kind of academic progress are you seeing?
Yeah, so we find that once that stabilization period happens and we have young people who are in an environment where they feel safe and stable and people are checking in with them, how are you doing? And we specialize and find out where they are and we have an individual plan for them. We're seeing that kids improve their reading and math scores. It can be up to 2 years in just a 6-month period of time.
Wow.
So just with that focus, calming, you know, that environment that we're creating that's safe and supportive, and their kids are re-engaging in that space and no longer avoiding. Because we see that kids, once they're behind, sometimes that shame and that embarrassment doesn't allow them to relax and learn. And so we work really hard to take that stigma away, say, hey, you know, everybody struggles sometimes, and how can we get them to re-engage in that process? Then we see that confidence builds in what they're doing, and then they're maybe even enjoying learning a little bit more, and they're not avoiding. They're looking forward to coming into the school environment. And we always greet our kids with, you know, we're so glad you're here, just that sense of glad you made it and celebratory space.
Yeah. Well, again, we said you're serving kids not only with regard to academics, but emotionally, behaviorally. What impact are you seeing in youth who receive the mental health support that you provide?
So we have seen that young people who have experienced things in life that we certainly don't want for them, and they're ridden with anxiety or depression, our therapists work with them and our clinical staff work with them, and we have found a couple of things that are really promising. We have 95% of our kids say that they now have the skills to manage their mental health symptoms, right? So mental health doesn't just go away. The mental health challenges or diagnosis, they just don't go away.
Right.
But if we can help a young person build the skills to handle what they're going through, that is incredible. One of the things we do in our residential program is we practice mindfulness and meditation a couple times a day. So kids will wake up in the morning and we do mindfulness drills, different ones, because the goal is to help them to have a skill at the ready. So if they're triggered by something, if they see something, they hear something, or somebody talks to them in a certain way and they get triggered, in the past, they might have acted out violently or they might have withdrawn and done something to harm themselves. But if they can stop in that moment, do a breathing exercise or some physical muscle relaxation, giving them the time and space to say, how do I want to react in this moment? Or getting centered about what's happening, you know, right now, and what's the healthiest response. Mm. So we do that with them. And we also found that it was important for our staff to participate in that as well. So if you are a parent or a teacher and you're supporting a young person who is in crisis and stressed out, you can get dysregulated too.
Oh,
and
for so sure. We know that.
So we found that the staff doing the mindfulness drills along with the students, it's really helped create an environment like, okay, stress happens, stuff happens. How can we take a breath and be our best selves in that moment?
Yeah. You mentioned in the morning you do these breathing techniques. Are kids staying with you 24/7?
Yeah. In the residential treatment program. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're with us 24/7. They do spend time with their families also on the weekends.
Okay.
So they're kind of with us Monday through Friday, 7 days a week. And so we'll have the meditation in the morning, and then we'll do one after school as well to kind of get recentered.
Okay. So some of your programs offer that. Then others, maybe they come just during the day or maybe after school or...
So our educational programs, it's the traditional school day. We have programs that are, you know, just a one-hour intervention. If it is a therapy session or if it's mentoring, they'll work with a young person about 2 to 3 hours a week. And that's a wonderful program where kids are struggling with mental health or school phobia, anxiety. And we match them up with a caring adult. Mm. And that makes all the difference they are experiencing life. And so they're learning and the mentors are coaching them up. But they're doing it in a way that's not maybe in an office setting.
Right.
So they're out and about learning and talking, and kids, they get more confidence, they feel more comfortable, and they just have that cheerleader with them through their mentor to help them to realize and accept that they can make it through and they're going to be okay.
Yeah. Because the stat shared earlier in the program was that 40% of high schoolers are struggling with something. And so it sounds like you are meeting the child where they're at, understanding what it is they need, whether it's a 24/7 approach, whether it's a couple of hours a week, whether it's, you know, an after school program. You're tailoring what that student needs ideally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Absolutely.
Why would you say it's so important to intervene early?
So when the things are sustained, so when we talk about the school avoidance component, and when kids fall so far behind where they should be, it really takes a lot to get them reengaged and to overcome some of the challenges that they have experienced and they've built over time. And especially in cases in the young people that we serve that end up in the juvenile justice system, that creates a whole different layer of complexity in their lives that they have to overcome. So if they have progressed, without intervening early and saying, hey, you know, I'm seeing some behavioral issues or emotional or school avoidance, and we connect them to either a mentor or a counselor or support, then the path that they have gotten on, which could involve drug involvement, theft of different items. And then when the juvenile justice gets involved, what we have seen, especially in the 14, 15, 16-year-olds, is they start to identify as, I have committed a crime, therefore I'm a criminal, and breaking that identity. And maybe their surroundings may have shown them that or said, this is what your future is going to be. And so breaking that, it takes more effort to help them understand and see that there's a different future for them. So if we intervene, help the impact of trauma or mental health challenges early, then this path and getting caught up in the juvenile justice system wouldn't happen.
So get to it and get to it early.
Get to it early.
Okay. Well, when young people learn how to regulate their emotions and rebuild academic confidence and reconnect with these supportive adults that you're talking about, something powerful happens,
yeah.
right? The student that once felt stuck begins to move forward. After the break, we're going to talk about what that transformation actually looks like and what communities can do to support youth navigating mental health challenges. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to MPC, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. At EIG, we are committed to education. That's why we host seminars throughout the year covering topics like Medicare, estate planning, real estate investing, caregiving, personal finance, and more. And the best part? They're open to everyone. Curious about what's coming up? Visit ellenbecker.com/events and join us. We'd love to see you there.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jill Economo. And my guest today is Donnell Hauser, president and CEO of Lad Lake. So Donnell, share with us what it looks like when a young person begins to turn things around.
Generally speaking, or some things that we have seen, is when a young person starts to come to school without the prodding and encouragement or phone call. So in our community schools especially, they have to get to school on their own. And so when we see that attendance increasing, that's a wonderful thing to see. Mm-hmm. When we are working with a young person who may have explosive anger issues and we see a difference where they're breathing, they're calming down before they're acting out, those are all indicators that they're learning and they're changing the way that they're responding to crisis and triggers. And then there are a couple of stories, if it's okay to share, that we have seen over the years of working with young people. We had a young man who came to our Synergy Alternative School, and he had made some decisions that got him in trouble and involved in the juvenile justice system. And when he came to school, he was done. He was just frustrated. He didn't necessarily want to be with us, but he shared a story at, he ended up being the valedictorian of our, of the graduating class.
Wow.
And he shared a story that just coming in and seeing how the staff at the school welcomed him and encouraged him and believed in him, that he started to believe in himself. And so he had some catching up to do because he had missed a lot of school. But what was incredible, that once that switch turned on and he engaged and came to school, his goal was to go to MSOE, which is a very competitive school
yes.
to get into.
Yeah.
He was bright enough, but he had, you know, like I said, lost some time. And our teacher was able to work individually with him to meet all of the requirements and make up one of the specific courses that he was missing. And at the end of the day, he ended up getting a full scholarship to MSOE.
Wow.
And just like an incredible story to see how just the belief from other people and cheering him on and letting him, helping him to believe what he can be was just remarkable. So those moments are what we live for, what we love to see to encourage us in this work. There's another story of a young woman that we worked with that her family wasn't able to support her the way that they wanted. And she ended up being in foster care, different group homes. And then she finally ended up in our residential treatment program. When she came with us, she was almost 17 years old. She had very few credits towards graduation. And after connecting with us and beginning again to see her future differently, she made this transformation and she said, no, I do want to graduate. But that was a lot of work for her to get her credit recovery and to work on becoming to being able to graduate. And she was able to do that. So it was another young woman. And we got invited to her graduation ceremony. So she finished graduating outside of her time with us in our residential treatment program and came back and spoke at one of our events talking about how she didn't believe that she could do it. But with support and commitment and helping her navigate her mental health issues, that she was able to succeed. So It's just those transformation moments where kids say, I can do it and believe that they can. And then they put it in action and we're continuing to support them and help them navigate. It's just amazing to see because we know if they don't graduate, their futures are going to look a little bleaker.
Right, right. And the role that relationships play has mm-hmm. got to be so transformational.
Yeah, that connection with somebody who authentically cares and believes and is inspiring and breathes hope into a young person. It takes that moment. It takes that investment and that authenticity for a young person to believe that in themselves because you know, they've overcome so many challenges in life or been through so many challenges in life that they just need that encouragement sometimes.
Yeah. And I like the word you used, investment, mm-hmm. because anybody that makes an investment is looking for a positive return, right?
Right,
and
right.
So yeah. It's so crucial that we invest in our youth mm-hmm. so that their lives are turned around for the better.
Yes.
Positively.
Yeah.
What would you say people often misunderstand about youth who struggle with behavior?
I think that people, when they see a young person who is yelling or angry or aggressive, I think they misread that or they respond to it in a way that is like, oh, I want to avoid that. I don't want to be near that. But oftentimes it's a young person saying, you know, I'm struggling. I need some help. I'm hurting inside. There's something happening within me that I can't navigate. And out of frustration, hurt, fear, that they are acting out. And so if people can see beyond the behavior and see that there's something going on and inquiring and asking and spending that time and coming back time and time again, because the first couple times or many times, nothing, I'm fine, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. That can be misinterpreted by adults by saying, you know, oh, he just doesn't want to be bothered. But it's, are you going to stick with me? Are you going to stay with me? Are you going to be patient with me and be there to turn to?
Well, and I think it's important to point out that everybody has their own personal way that they are able to provide help. For example, you may have a friend who is a really great listener. You may have mm-hmm. another friend who loves to come in and cook for you or take you out to dinner or whatever. And then you have another person that kind of is really good at taking your mind off of things. And having a number of different people that you can turn to, because sometimes you want somebody to just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that person that is going to want to take you out to dinner may not be the right person.
At that time,
you know, yeah. So to have a number of people, friends, mentors in your life that can provide those different things to you when you need them is ideal.
Mm-hmm.
What about communities? How can they better support young people who face these types of challenges?
Yeah, for the community and the different settings, whether it's at school and churches or groups, is, you know, paying attention and seeing, you know, watching, seeing if there's a change in attitude and behavior. If young person is becoming more withdrawn or they're just absent, is, you know, really paying attention and then inquiring and not to be afraid to ask and say, hey, what's going on? Or asking, you know, that uncomfortable question of, you know, how are you doing? Or if a young person, if you see, you know, a lot of kids are cutting and just paying attention and asking about that and not avoiding it, but leaning in and saying, hey, what's going on? Opening up those conversations to say, you know, what's happening. And so if we're all paying attention and we inquire and we can work together to help that young person who might be suffering, that would be the ask, you know, for communities and how we can, again, do the earlier intervention. So it's not when a young person has, you know, is using drugs or stealing something, but intervene early to help them navigate through the challenges that life has given them, right?
Yeah.
'Cause we all have,
right,
you know, have different things. And some kids have experienced more than their fair share of difficulties in life.
Yeah. And I've heard some parents say, I just don't know what to do, or I don't know what to ask. And so knowing that there are places that people can reach out to, like, pay attention to these warning signs, or if your child is agitated in this way, then maybe approach it this way, because mm-hmm. I have heard it a number of times from parents that just kind of throw up their arms and say, I just don't even know what to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to ask. And so not being afraid to get the information yourself so that you can best help your child.
Right.
Right.
And keep asking and keep, you know, finding ways to help. And, you know, thank you for saying that. I think there are many parents that we come in contact with that don't realize the programs and the supports that are out there. And they say, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And so they're part of our work, especially in the crisis center, that we help families to find the supports in the communities mm-hmm. that are needed, because they don't know. And we're trying to, you know, raise more and more awareness and also to break down the stigma. It's still out there, you know, that the stigma around getting help or needing help or needing support with a mental health challenge, and that we're trying to take that stigma away,
right,
to talk
right.
about it. And so that's another thing that we would encourage, you know, people to do is if you are personally struggling, to be open and make it seem normal that
right.
it's okay to ask for help. It's okay. You don't have to tough it out
right.
or you don't have to hide it. And people experience different things and sometimes they need help.
And I think most everyone struggle with something, you know, and for mm-hmm. young kids, especially to understand that my challenge, my adversity may be different from yours, mm-hmm. but I still have a challenge.
Right.
And we may tackle it differently. We may tackle it the same, even though it's a different challenge. The way that we tackle it might be the same. Like mm-hmm. those practices that you do, those mindfulness practices. Mm-hmm. You can probably use those for a number of different situations that are the same or very different. I think it's important to share your different locations because I know you talk about the different schools, the different programs that you have. What are some of the different facilities that you have around the area?
Sure. So we have our alternative school is on the south side of Milwaukee. So we have a campus there serving about 110 students. We also have our campus more on the north side of Milwaukee, where we service girls. Our mental health programs are centered out of there. Our crisis center is there. And then we have our largest campus in Dousman, where we serve students in our residential treatment and then day education program. So yeah, we're trying to be wherever we can and have
right.
that array of services to meet young people where they're at.
Yeah, because it is a crisis. Again, the stats that I shared in the beginning of the program, it's staggering. You know, almost half of our kids, 40%, are struggling with some kind of mental health issue. And we need people to step in. And they need to be advocates for themselves as well. You know, I think it's important to go both ways. If someone listening wants to learn more about Ladd Lake, get involved in some way, what can they do?
Yeah, there are a couple of different ways. You know, certainly to look at our website, ladlake.org, and you can see the different services that we do. If you want to hear more firsthand from the young people, we do have a couple different events each year that we invite folks to come out to. One is our Kettle Classic held in June, where there's a bike run walk event, but also at that time, you get to hear from young people and their transformation and how having the supports and the services at Ladd Lake has helped them look at their future and have a different future. And then we have our larger event in October, our gala, where we have a few young people come and share their stories and you hear more about the work that we do. We're always open to have volunteers come and be that caring adult and that caring voice and for the young people at our different programs.
And it's ladlake.org.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, we dove into a lot of really great things today, supporting our youth academically and from a mental health perspective. Do you have any closing comments that you'd like to share before we end our time together today?
Yeah, I would say for the adults to pay attention to what is happening to the young person around you that is in your life and to ask and to inquire how they're doing. So if we know that about 50% are struggling, it's probably more than that need some help. And so I just encourage people to check in. How is the young person in your life doing? Ask them if they need help, letting them know that it's okay to ask for help, and then to connect them with programs and supports and services so they're not struggling in silence, they're not struggling alone.
Okay. And again, it's ladlake.org. So check that out. And if you don't remember, listeners, you can check our show notes and that'll direct you as well. I appreciate you visiting with us today. Danelle Hauser, President and CEO of Ladd Lake. I am thankful for the ways that you are supporting our youth. Again, not only academically, but emotionally and behaviorally. So thank you for joining us in our interview today.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. Stay tuned next week to hear about another wonderful organization who is making a difference, and you can learn how you can make a difference as well. Always remember, whether at home, in the community, at work, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.